Welcome to the Tech Pro Unicorn Podcast, brought to you by RPI Consultants, a podcast about the magic of digital transformation through technology. Each week, we'll cover topics related to ERP, RPA, business transformation, leadership, healthcare, and unicorns.
So how, when we look at your story, it's hard to take one story and to share it kind of selflessly in the hopes that it helps other folks. And it's harder, I think, to then put that into a book and organize your thoughts and organize your story. And when I look at this, you're talking about such a cool concept, right? Everybody wants to be the better version of themselves. Everybody wants to be, to your book's title, right? Everybody wants to be a winner. Maybe not like, in professions or such, but they want to be better. Everyone's striving to improve, whether sure. it's self-help or such. So maybe just talk to me a little bit about DNA of a winner. What is in that book?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Man, that's a loaded one there, big dog. man, the book I've had, as I kind of mentioned, I mean, there's been people from all over the place that have gotten it, many different countries and many different types of demographics. I mean, I've had 13-year-olds get it. I've had senior citizens, retirees that have given feedback. And the thing about it is, we all have winner in us. We all have winner in us. It is our birthright to be excellent. We all have greatness in us. It's not something we have to search for. It's there. And just sometimes it's different for everyone. I mean, some of us have to dig differently than others to find it. But, for some of us, it's just lying there dormant. It's just dormant, mm-hmm. ready to be surfaced and seized. And we all have best self. And the cool thing about being the best version of you is it raises the lid for the others in your community. So for instance, my family, my community, my city, my followers, none of them can be the best version of themselves if I don't create the best version of me. Because by raising my ceiling, by becoming the best version of me constantly, I'm also raising their ceiling. And what a lot of people don't understand is that it is a selfish move to not want to be the best version of you, not just because you're not becoming the best version of you, but you're limiting the people you love the most in your life when you aren't striving to be just 1% better today. It's the most selfless move you can make is to get a little selfish and become the best version of you. And it's not like a massive, massive leap of faith. It's not a giant leap. It's just one step. Just take mm-hmm. one step today. Just get 1% better today. That's not a super tall ask. You don't have to solve the world's problems today. Just be a better version of you. And there's a lot, pretty much everything in the book is about that. And that can be for your office space. It could be about your family. It could be about your locker room. It could be about your circle of friends. It could be for any of that stuff. And I know the riches are in the niches most of the time. That's what my agents and whatnot keep telling me. But, there's not a version of you that can't be improved. Everyone has better inside them, and everyone has greatness waiting to surface inside them.
I love it. Sometimes I think people just get overwhelmed, right? And life's tugging you professionally, family, friends, right? We've got all these competing priorities. I'm just in love with kind of all your little just simple sayings, right? That remind us and make it kind of fun. The winner in us. I was like, ooh, that kind of rhymes. And riches are in niches. And 1%, right? And maybe that's just eating a different, healthier meal or something, right? To just instead of getting a cheeseburger, you get a salad or something, and sure. it's just a small little improvement. It seems so simple, But so many people get overwhelmed because they try to eat the elephant all at the same time.
Right. Right. Yeah. People do get overwhelmed, but people also get caught up in overestimating events and overestimating yesterday and underestimating today and underestimating what could be tomorrow if they take care of today. And really, a lot of times when people are getting overwhelmed, they're getting overwhelmed with having their lens in the wrong place. You know, opportunities don't happen yesterday, they happen today. And most of our fears are dictated and based off of what's already happened. Stuff that's happened in the past, stuff that happened 15 seconds ago. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of making a mistake. They're afraid of letting people down. They have some sort of deep scar that they have a hard time getting over. And the catch is you can't create the best version of you and connect the dots between what you were and what you could be, potential and performance, if you don't get forward-minded.
I love it. I talk a lot around presence, right? Being present, right? While I'm a technologist, I talk a lot about limiting technology so that you can be present, right? If you're in a meeting, be present in the meeting. And I love a lot of what you just said, because everyone's backwards looking at it. It almost seems like they're worried about what happened and all those effects. And I'm always like, you can't change that. Okay. So assess where you are today and create a plan for where you want to go, right? Stop worrying about, you know, whatever your current situation is and whatever got you there, because none of that is, that's all historic, right? It can't change. I just love so much about just the positivity and consumability of kind of what you're talking about. You mentioned in the, you know, the true power grid. What is the true power grid? Because it's, you know, we all think of it as some electrical supply to our houses.
Right. Well, yeah, the true power grid in life is relationships. The true power grid in life is relationships. You want to be great. You want to be a great leader. You want to be great at anything. You have to be great in relationships. And that has to be at the forefront of everything. If you are managing, if you are leading, if you're running a family, anything, nothing happens without great relationships. You want to chase income, which is maybe not the right thing to chase, but if you're chasing income, if you're chasing growth, if you're chasing anything, even if you're a solopreneur, you can't make money without building relationships. And you look at failures in life. People couldn't get ideas off the ground. We got these incredibly smart people with all this incredible background that end up getting run out because they couldn't get an idea off the ground with people. I mean, people, leaders are people, customers are people, families, people. I've never met any, they're all people. So your ability to succeed in life is going to almost always be directly correlated with your ability to have incredible relationships. And the thing about it is, yeah, you're going to grow and you're going to achieve and you're going to make money and you're going to do all these things, but you're also going to live a fulfilled life. People are so busy trying to build a business that they forget to build a life. I mean, we want to have fun, man. We don't want to, you can make all the money in the world. Good for you. Money is cool. Don't get me wrong. But man, if you're not enjoying it, what kind of life is that? And if your relationships suck, whether it be at home, at the workplace, in the locker room, wherever, if your relationships suck, where's the fun? There's no fun there. So, yeah.
I love it. Why do it if you're not having fun? Right? 100%. So many people, when I do mentoring or life coaching, I use this wheel and it's got kind of all these different aspects. You could just Google it. It's a life coaching wheel. And I always, you know, it's never round, right? There's always like, this is great. This is great. This is great. And then there's this big hole in the wheel, right? Sure. And people are like, oh, this is miserable. And it's almost always around relationships, right? Either with one's spouse or maybe a parent or their children or their job. And I'm always like, well, you know that, you realize it, you just self-evaluated it. What are you doing to fix it? Oh, it just is what it is. What the hell is that? It is what it is, because you're not doing anything to affect change in that area, right? I love what you just said. Like, we say customers like they're some people who we don't even understand. And at the end of the day, you're a customer. I'm a customer, right? Absolutely. People are customers. And when we coach our clients around customers, I'm like, what do you know about your customers? And they're like, oh, and they think they're really good, right? They're like, oh, it's a married woman, age 32. That's our primary customer. And I'm like, awesome. What do you know about her? When does she wake up? What does she do when she wakes up? Does she grab her phone and look at her email, or does she surf Instagram, or does she, do you know, you want to know everything about your customer so you can relate to them, because it's that relationship, right? You want to build a relationship with your customers. It's like, I just hear you laying down all these concepts and I'm like, he's just so right. And and sometimes even us podcasters, right? We talk to all these people and we get all this knowledge. And then sometimes you get a guest and you're like, he's got it. Like it's so simple. Right. So what relationships, right? Sometimes they go bad. What hurts relationships? What's a relationship killer or, you know, a deal killer around relationships?
Sure. Well, the number one deal killer, whether you're talking about relationships or business, is communication.
Amen.
You don't communicate, bad stuff happens. And, you know, let's just talk about, well, we can talk about both, but if we're just talking about relationships between coworkers or family members or whatever, friendships, when you don't talk, people start making up their own stuff. A lot of people, our world clings to negativity, like 75% better to negativity than positivity. I read a stat where a negative feeling could last, say, 27 days. A positive feeling might last 4 days. And I'm butchering the stat, but negativity lasts so much longer. So people automatically default to that more often than not, the average person. And so when you don't talk, people are wondering, why the hell aren't we talking? Why isn't this person talking to me? What is going on? What have I done? And maybe they haven't done anything. Maybe you're just a crummy communicator. And maybe it doesn't make you a bad person. But, you know, there's that. There's being a crummy communicator in the form of not doing it. But maybe you're doing it and you just aren't good at it. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're just a crummy communicator. Maybe you're a talk at her as opposed to speaking with her. Maybe you're a person that is super timid. Maybe people can't even buy into your ideas because you don't even sound like you buy into your own ideas. Maybe you're overly aggressive. Maybe your feet, you know, your feet are the most honest part of your body. When you're talking, you look at someone standing up, you look at their feet, you can tell whether they want to stay in the conversation or get out of the conversation. You know, there's all kinds of different ways that you could be a good or a bad communicator. And then, like I said, then there's the absence. But, you know, in business, same deal. You know, you ask someone, like, what's the number one deal killer? There's a bunch of different reasons. I always ask this question to people, and they come up with all these different answers. But at the end of the day, the number one killer is time. Is time. Not closing. Not following up. You talk to anybody who knows anything about business and they're going to tell you, they're going to talk to you forever about follow-ups. And people who are bad at communicating and whatnot are generally bad, not great with relationships. None of this makes people bad people. This is fluff in their game that they need to shave out.
I love it. The nice thing about it is it's a skill, right? That you can work at and improve at. Whether that's Toastmasters and feeling more comfortable talking to groups, or maybe you just need some one-on-one kind of mentoring, right? I just love kind of all the aspects that you covered there. I know, you know, we're always improving as people, as men, as husbands. And I don't communicate great with my wife about difficult subjects, right? I self-identify, you know, I know I don't do it. So I always tell her, like, hey, when we need to talk about something, make sure I'm not distracted, right? Make sure I'm not watching TV, you know, working, doing something so I can refocus and repurpose and listen, right? Which is a big aspect of communication.
Absolutely.
I love the talk adder, like, because sometimes I am. I'm a talk adder. I'll walk in, I'll be like, oh, this is awkward. Nobody's saying anything. Let me fill the space. Hey, right? We're podcasters. We talk. Sure. So given an empty room, we're going to fill it. And sometimes that's the wrong thing, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to listen. Maybe we need to listen. So let's talk a little bit about winning. What is a double win?
Yeah, double win, man. That is the sexiest thing that could happen to you today, big dog. I mean,
I love it.
The double win is by adding value to others, you add value to your own life. So you want to go. You see people that are unhappy. Ask yourself, are they serving? I mean, the best kinds of leaders, the soul-based leaders, are love-based leaders, and they're servant leaders, and they're looking to add value to others. Whereas And then that adds value to your own life. I mean, you want to find a way to double your energy in the day. Go out and do something fantastic for somebody else in the morning. Go out and do something incredible for another human being. It could be something simple. It could just be every morning you send a text to one person in your chain, just thanking them. Just saying, man, I appreciate you. Or just a random act of kindness. Tell them, you know, I was thinking about you today. Just thought I'd give you a shout. Do something like that. Hold the door open for a stranger. It takes no special ability to be kind, right? It takes no special ability to be kind. I don't have to know the person's name to be abnormally awesome to them. And man, you do those kind of things. You wake up and your toes touch the floor and that's part of your routine. Man, that's living the good life. That is an incredible life. And we can all do that. It takes no special ability to do any of those things I mentioned. We can all do that. That can create the double win. And man, what a life we're living if we're living the life of a double win maestro.
I love it. In 2016, I got honored with a Human Kindness Award, right? A Hello awesome. Human Kindness Award from my employer. First one of its kind. I was working for Dignity Health, and they created this great award. They flew all these people that won all this award to Vegas, and they celebrated human kindness.
So awesome.
And at first I was like, this is amazing. And then I'm like, I don't want an award, right? Like, I want that to just become part of who I am. Granted, this was a big effort, and I went out of my way, my wife and I, and we helped a patient, and we did all kinds of crazy stuff for them, you know, to help them in a really tough situation that honestly I hope somebody would do for me. But, you know, it wasn't the act that we did. We would have done it. We'd do it again, right? And I was like, I just want to be that person, right? I just want to look for those opportunities. And I think, you know, sometimes we're like looking for the wrong reason, right? Maybe we're looking for like, how do we get recognized? Or we're looking for, and it's just important to remember that human-to-human connection. Like, you can change somebody's life, right? You can... We did a technology project that saved some time, and the company took the person and repurposed the person, and the person just started calling employees. This is how they chose to save money. But they took this person, and instead of letting them go, they said, you're just going to call all our employees that are on leave, and you're just going to ask them if there's anything else that they need or what we can do for them. And one of the comments that they got back was, wow, that call came at such a pivotal moment. I was having the worst time. I was dealing with grief and loss of a loved one, which is why they were on leave. And I was considering taking my own life. And that call just let me know that another human cared about me. And it just now gave me goosebumps. It gave me goosebumps at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's a phone call. It's a text, right? It's just stopping and recognizing another human being and going, is there anything I can do for you? How are you doing? And an honest, legitimate check-in. Yep. And you feel so good doing it, right? I love the double win concept. Like, that's a win right there. I wrote all kinds of notes, which is why I was looking down for those of you watching. Brad and I said, you know, we're like note takers. So if you us looking down on the video going, what the hell are these two doing? We're learning from each other and taking notes. So
I'm just admiring your hair, big dog. I mean, I feel like the viewers are getting cheated, getting to see the good hair. Yeah. Looking good.
Thank you. So success. Let's talk about success a little bit. You achieve success, right? Which I don't even get, right? Like, you can't put a milestone and be like, oh, I achieved success, so now I'm going to retire. Like, right. So is success the end of the road? Like, what do you do when you get a big win and you call success?
Well, big wins for me revolve around who I'm becoming, not what I'm getting. So, you know, what we get in life is cool. Things that we get are cool, but who we become, that's the juice. That's the exciting. That's the sexy. And so, yeah, success isn't the end of the road. Success is the road. The road is tough. It's full of vibrations. It's got friction. It's got inconvenience. It's got struggle. But it's also got all of the nuggets that make life so freaking awesome. It's got all of the stuff that where we got growth. The growth, man, that is growth. I spell fun, W-I-N. And when I'm talking about winning, I'm talking about growth. I'm talking about all those little, I call them mile markers on the road that, you know, it's a little notch, but you know, the best don't ever feel like they've reached it. The best feel like they're always becoming. They're always, and I'm not saying you don't ever feel good about what you've accomplished and stuff like that. Totally feel great about that stuff. You earned it, and that is fantastic. But your goals and what you're doing on that road should be tied to who do you want to become. You want to talk about what success is? Success is, am I trending in the direction of my desired identity? That's success. Am I trending? So this text I'm about to send, this email I'm about to send, this conversation I'm about to have, will it have me trending in the direction of my desired identity? And if it does, that's a success. I'm going to grow today. That in itself is badass. And life is good. But if what I'm about to do is not going to have me trending, not going to have me ascending, not going to have me going in the direction of my desired identity, why would I do that to myself? Why would I do that? That is an absolute selfish move. And while ego can be good too, in that case, it's really bad. It's that is a selfish move that's not productive, and it's not going to help you on your road. So, yeah,
I love the road analogy, right? So many folks are you know, they talk about road mapping their lives or setting goals. How do they? And oftentimes, right, I get, well, here's where I am and I feel stuck and I don't know which way to go and I don't know how to move forward and should I do this or should I do that? And they just get overwhelmed, right?
Right.
And I always tell people, you know, find a coach that you resonate with, whether it's a friend and a mentor or such, but formalize that relationship so they give you the time and you get what you need. Sometimes people pick bosses or ex-bosses or whatever as mentors and it doesn't really work out because they're not committed, right? The participant isn't paying for the service, therefore they're not really committed. The person's doing it as a favor, they're not really committed, and it just kind of fizzles. It doesn't usually work. How does somebody, you know, go down this road? How do they choose, you know, and make these decisions? How do they choose their lane, I guess?
Well, I think the most important thing, and if you've been in this business and if you're intentional about trying to become a better version of yourself, you've heard about the imposter syndrome repeatedly, where one of the biggest mistakes people make, and I did it when I was young, is you see these people that you really admire. You really respect them. You love them. You love what they do. You love their energy. You love everything about this peep. And then you try to be this peep. And the problem is, There's no one like you. There's no one can do it the way you do it. And with that being said, you're trying to do something someone else does the way they do it. And you might be able to do things similar, but they can't even do it the way you do it. you're sitting there thinking that they're high and almighty, and you can learn from them. But you, at the end of the day, you are you. That is your personality. That is your lane. That is, you are who you are. And so you can't try to be something you're not. A lot of people get overwhelmed in the whole process of who they want to be and where they want to go, basing their ideas off of people they really respect and stuff that they really think that they enjoy. But what I always tell people when they're trying to, and again, I'm a professional thief. I just try to steal as much good information as I can from incredible people like you and your listeners. And I try to apply it to my own scheme. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years is, you know, we all got to ask ourselves three questions. If we're trying to find our lane, what we have a chance to be great at, ask ourselves that. What do I have a chance to be great at? What do I have a chance to be one of the best in the world at? If you're a big thinker. And because we didn't wake up today to be mediocre. We didn't roll out of bed today to be mediocre. We have greatness inside us. We have winner in our veins. Why would we intentionally choose something that doesn't have us being freaking awesome? If we all have awesome running in our veins, why would we intentionally choose something that's mediocre? Why would we do that to ourselves? You know what I mean? To me, it just doesn't make sense. Like, I know that, and the thing is, whether you know it or not, it don't even matter. You have greatness in your veins. Speaking to your listeners, like it is there. So why would you choose something that you don't have a chance to be great at? Two, you know, are you passionate about this thing? Are you passionate about this? Passion is just love looking for a home. That's what it is. Right. Are you passionate about it? Are you passionate about it? When you think, I mean, can you imagine a life where you're getting paid to do something you love? I mean, are you kidding me? Something, getting paid to do something. I'm getting paid to do this. I'm getting paid to do something I love. Seriously. And I have a chance to be great at this. That's pretty freaking awesome. And then the third thing is, does this drive my engine? And, you know, in that case, that's love in action. Love improvising, adapting, overcoming, persevering. That's what that is. Does this drive your engine? Does this make you want to be a better human being? Does this make you grow? Does this make you want to ascend? Does this track you towards your desired identity? So when you add up those three questions, do I have a chance to be great at it? Does it drive my engine? And am I passionate about this thing? If you can't say yes to more than one of those, you're going down the wrong lane. You're in the wrong lane. It's a dead end. If you can say yes to two of them, you're going to be, for those of you that are fans of athletics, you're like that 500 club where you're good enough to be freaking awesome some days, but you're not, you're 500. You're going to have a lot of days where you stink it up, and you're also pretty frustrating. You're frustrating because the people that care about you the most, the people that work with you, the people that are around you in your community of peeps, they know how freaking awesome you could be. You could be incredible. But you show signs of it one day and you don't do it the next day, and you're so inconsistent. Great organizations don't have a bunch of inconsistent people. Success doesn't have a bunch of inconsistency. But if you can say yes to all three, man, mm-hmm. you are living the good life. I mean, my stomach is clenching just talking about it. I mean, say yes to all. Getting paid to do something that I love and I have a chance to be great at? All attainable, man. All attainable.
I love it. You know, you made a good point about, you know, most of us do public speaking and such. And I've had people young in their careers going, man, I want to take what you do and I want to take this, that, and the other. And I'm going to, and I always tell people, like, careful. Like I've built a persona, right? And it's taken years and years and years. I use humor frequently and it works for me.
Right.
It probably won't work for somebody new in their career, right? Mm-hmm. I love what you said about how you kind of go down this lane and figure out where you are. And I think so many people just don't spend the time to do that. They feel stuck, you know, and I'm always like, get somebody to just give you honest feedback, to just work with you. You know, and those of you that are listening know I have a lot of coaches on. And part of the reason I really seek out some of these coaches is because, you know, Brad might be the guy for you. Brad might not be the guy for you, right? And there might be another person, but find somebody who you're like, man, I resonate with what he's talking about, and then reach out, right? All these guys will help you, you know, figure out whether they're the guy for you and help you. And that third party, that independent eye to really look at where you are and help guide you is so valuable. Whether you call it a executive coach or whatever you call it, leadership coach or personal coach or life coach or whatever, having a coach, like there isn't a sports team out there playing at any reasonable level that doesn't have a damn coach that's helping them be successful. Everyone needs that same thing in their life. I just love it. Habits and goals, right? Mm-hmm. People talk about, oh, if you do this 26 times, it becomes a habit. I'm going to set a goal and post it on my refrigerator, right? And I'm going to look at it every day, sure, which doesn't mean you're actually going to obtain it.
Right.
So habits or goals, like, let's talk about that. What to you do you think is more important? Are they both important?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think goals are, I have nothing against goals. I think goals, the thing about goals is goals will motivate you, but I'm more into becoming. So rather than creating to-do lists, I create to-be lists. Rather than focusing on goals, I focus on growth. Like a growth-conscious person is going to mature. Goals might motivate you, but it might motivate your people. But I'm looking to mature my people. I'm looking to get better on the daily, not on the destination. We're not focusing on the destination. We're focusing on the daily. So while I think goals are important, habits, mm-hmm, specifically habits are going to have you trending in the direction of your desired identity. Habits are going to have you becoming, because that's the stuff that sticks. The stuff that sticks, you know, you bring up, you know, I'm going to do this for 21 days. And yeah, there is truth to that. You know, if you do something, it could be entrenched in your inside you, and good habits and bad habits. That there is truth to that, but you get there with habits. You accomplish mm-hmm goals with habits. Habits that have you becoming. When you focus on becoming, it starts to become sustainable, because it's become who you are. Life doesn't give us what we want. Life gives us who we are. And so, yeah, I mean, I think goals are important, but far, far more important is the focus. Where is our lens? Our lens should be on becoming the best version of us. We want to become a different kind of beast. We want to become a different kind of animal that does not blend in. It doesn't happen simply putting something on a piece of paper and saying, I want to be this. We become that with the habits that we set in place. And that's the same way you break bad habits. You break bad habits with lists of stuff that you want to become. Like if I want to become an author, I need to become a better writer. If I want to become mm-hmm a coach, I have to become better at coaching. If that makes sense.
I love it. Yeah, it's all about the steps, right? And mm-hmm and making it consumable and actionable. You know, it goes back to like what you said in the beginning, the small 1%, right? Just inch towards it, and pretty soon you're there, right? 100 right times of 1% is 100%. So you very quickly kind of, well, not very quickly, but at least you're moving in the right direction, right?
Right.
Today I was super proud of myself. I had a salad and I didn't even finish it. I was like, yes, that was awesome. So yeah. I was, you know, 1% better today at lunch and ordered a salad instead of a sandwich with all the bread. So I love everything that we've talked about. We're kind of coming to the end, and I want to ask, what is you know, when you're putting this all together, mm-hmm. And maybe you're a leader, right? What makes a great leader? What do they look like?
Yeah. Well, that is a great question. There are quite a few qualities, but these are suggestions that I would suggest to your listeners. One, don't seek. First off, there's no such thing as balance. Balance is prioritizing. But if we were to try to use the word balance, a lot of people will say work-life balance. I would suggest you use you flip-flop that and talk about life-work balance. We're not trying to build a business. We're trying to build a lifestyle. Family, for me, is always number one. And it wasn't always that way. Early on, I've always been a workhorse. I like to grind. I like to get after it. I have no problem rolling up my sleeves and getting after it. But early on in my life, even when I was present, I really wasn't present. I was so into my work and my job and the relationships and that and making that work. And I was pretty good at that. I've always won, but I wasn't present at home. And I think my kids would tell you I've always been a good dad, but I still feel guilty to this day that I'd be home and I'd be checking my phone or I'd be thinking about this, that, and the other thing with people that aren't inside my walls. So I would really, especially for you young leaders, man, you're getting into this thing. Have your core values, whatever they are. For me, it's family. For others, it, you know, might be spiritual or whatever it is. Have your core values. You know, maybe you make a list of five of them and have that. If you know me, you know, I said life work balance, phrase it however you want. But if you want to be a great leader, you got to have your actions match your words. Your actions have to match your words. You're talking about balance and life and all this stuff. Are you really living that? And then are you allowing the people around you to live that? Are you? Are you the type of person that people want to work with? Are you the type of person that's, man, it almost feels like you're fighting harder than they are to make sure life is great at home, to make sure that they've got prioritizing and all that. Are you that person? So that's one. Two, I talked about building a lifestyle, not a business. We want to have fun. If we spell fun, W-I-N, part of, man, we want to have fun while we're winning. We want to have fun while we're creating revenue and growth and all that stuff. We want to have fun doing it. Three, chase growth. Don't chase revenue. Chase growth. It's a hell of a lot more fun. And I promise if you're growing, you're getting better. And if you're getting better and you're treating people fantastic, great things, amazing is coming for you, friends. Amazing is coming your direction if you have those kind of things. I'll list two more.
Awesome.
Is that all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Seek challenges. The comfort zone and the growth zone are not the same zone. They're not the same zone. You'll notice that the best leaders are always on the edge. They're always on the edge. Like, here's the comfort zone and here's the growth zone. And they're always right on the edge of those two zones. They're not sitting comfortable and they're not embracing convenience. They're embracing inconvenience. They're not avoiding struggle and avoiding friction. They're embracing it. They're inhaling fear and exhaling awesome. That's what they're doing. And you can't do that sitting comfortably. You've got to embrace those things and get into it. And last, I think we've said it a bunch of times. You want to build around your desired identity. You want to build in a way that's going to have you. Great leaders look like that. That's what great leaders do. Now, can you make money and still have perceived success not chasing all those things? Yeah, we can all probably think of a handful of people, celebrities or people we know that are making a lot of money, but that doesn't mean they're happy. You can have happiness and money building your life from the inside out. Happiness is an inside job. Soul-based leadership, love-based leadership. People want to work for you. People want to be around that. You're building others up while at the same time building up your own life. It's incredible. That's what, you know, I'll just say this. I know I'm starting to get fired up now. Right. I want to get as many reps as possible building my community. So kindness, gender equity, diversity. I want to have as many reps as possible in my day with those kind of things. And so then I guess that would be number six. Man, I could come up with 25 things, homeboy. You're going to have to cut me off. I want to have as many reps as possible with those kind of things. And that's what a great leader looks like.
I love it. So such, you know, I love that it's all just building towards the person you want to be, right? 1% a day, we're not asking for a lot. Brad, I want to thank you for taking the time. Brad's info will be down below. The link to braddaltongroup.com is where you can learn more about Brad, his coaching. The link to his book is there. It's available on Amazon today. We didn't get a chance to really talk about Soulprint Now, the course that's coming. Do you want to give a 2-minute plug for what's coming on Soulprint?
Yeah, well, with Soulprint Now and other stuff that's going to be coming through over the next few months, we got a lot of stuff in the works. If this is the kind of juice, if you like the stuff that we've talked about today, that's what it's about. It's about becoming the best version of you. There's group options, there's one-on-one options, there's both options, and yeah, your listeners can, if you email me, I will get back to you directly. It'll be me. It won't be somebody else. Brad@braddaltongroup.com. Brad@braddaltongroup.com. I'll get back to you directly and see if there's some sort of juice between us.
I love it. It's really about finding the right coach for you.
And, 100%.
Brad, I love what you've laid down. 1% a day is all you ask. And I think, you know, that's really achievable. Just making better choices. So lots of information. I really appreciate what you've shared with us on the podcast, what you're putting out in the community to try to just help, right? Just try to share your story and make the world a better place. So Brad, thank you very much for all you do. Again, Brad's information will be down below, braddaltongroup.com. Thanks for taking the time today.
You bet, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Tech Pro Unicorn Podcast. Make sure to visit our website at www.techprounicorn.com, where you can subscribe to the show and catch our latest blog articles. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. Remember, unicorns represent the magic of digital transformation that occurs when business process is enabled with technology. We'll be right back.